and Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr, and thanks for taking time out of your schedule to be with us tonight. Tonight I'm going to interview a very interesting man on a very important topic of nutrition and cancer, Dr. Kedar Prasad. And I just want to tell you, we are not attempting to treat or diagnose anyone on this show. The things that we talk about tonight are for informational purposes only. So I just want to get that clear. We're not trying to treat you or tell you what to take. We're just trying to give you information to make an intelligent decision in your life. So, Dr. Prasad, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Eva. First, a little bit about myself. I was professor at the University of Colorado Medical School for a long time, and then I became a director for Center for Vitamin and Cancer Research there for a long time. I have published over 200 papers in a peer-reviewed journal, and so I did mainly on the topic of cancer, as well as on neurological disease such as Alzheimer and Parkinsonism. And all the works were supported by the National Institute of Health. And so I have a good record of research. But today, I would like to talk to about cancer and nutrition. First, what's misunderstanding is that there are two schools of thought at this time. One thought is that the cancer cannot be prevented, or cancer cannot be treated better than what we are doing today. First, I will talk about the prevention. Most of the clinical study on the issue of prevention has been done by a single antioxidant. And in order to improve the efficacy of the antioxidant, it is not possible to use one antioxidant and expect that your desired effect would be available. And the main reason is that in order to reduce the oxidative damage caused by free radicals, it is important to reduce oxidative stress by elevating our own antioxidant defense system. And our own antioxidant defense system consists of two components. One component is the antioxidant enzymes, and another component is dietary antioxidant we take from the diet, and some of the antioxidant that made in our body. And therefore, it is not possible at all to affect all these processes of defense system by single antioxidant. And most of the clinical study that you see in a report published even, very frequently, that they have used single antioxidant and the effect has been sometimes positive, sometimes it will show the adverse effect, in other words, increasing the risk of cancer. So you have to be careful. I have been recommending for last 20 years that you have to use multiple antioxidant. Not the single antioxidant, but most of the clinical study have utilized a single antioxidant, and that's the reason the controversy is. Fortunately, about a few months ago, there were two very important papers came on multiple antioxidant, which justifies my earlier recommendation was correct. For example, this work was published in JAMA, Journal of Medical Association, which is like a Bible for the clinician. They reported that a multiple vitamin can reduce the risk of cancer by 10%. This is the first well-designed clinical study showing that multiple antioxidant, not the single antioxidant, can do the job. Another study came only a few weeks ago, again published in JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, showing that multiple antioxidant can improve the symptoms of HIV/AIDS patients And this work was done in Africa without any medication. Again, showing that it is the multiple antioxidants which are more useful in preventing not only cancer, but various other diseases. Another point, new information that I want to provide you with, that most of the time we feel that the genetic basis of the disease cannot be prevented or delayed. For example, if somebody has a genes for cancer, for example, breast cancer, if you have a breast cancer gene mutations, then people feel that there is nothing I can do except wait for the tumor to appear and then treat. What we have done experiment, this is again experimental data and I'm providing the information. This work was done in collaboration with Dr. Bhattacharya at the NASA, in California. And she has an excellent model of fruit fly. And fruit fly, she inserted a gene, cancer gene. So now fruit fly becomes very sensitive to cancer, to developing cancer, just like people whose parents have a cancer gene and they inherit the cancer gene and they become very susceptible to develop cancer. So in this case, fruit fly became extremely sensitive to develop cancer. And one of the most potent cancer-causing agents is radiation. And proton radiations that they use was 10 times more cancer-causing than, say, X-ray or gamma ray. So when they treated the fruit fly, which was carrying a gene for cancer, 100% of the fly developed cancer. This is what you expected. But we developed a formulation. I have developed a formulation for multiple antioxidants and provided them to do the experiment. And when they treated the fruit fly before radiation and after radiation, none of the fruit fly developed cancer. So we cannot extrapolate the data that we obtained from fruit fly to human, but at least it suggests for the first time that genetic basis of the disease can be prevented by appropriate supplement of micronutrients, in this case, dietary antioxidant as well as the antioxidant that our body makes. So this is very, very important observation in a fruit fly. And therefore, at some point, people will be using it, I hope so, clinically to test how far this is true in humans. But at this time, I don't see any plan for next 5 or 10 years that people are planning on this line. But in any case, I thought that you'd be very interested, your audience will be knowing the genetic basis of the disease, whether it is a cancer, whether it is an Alzheimer, whether it is a Parkinson's disease, or any kind of genetic basis disease. If they start earlier on a good diet and a supplement of micronutrient, which has a multiple antioxidant, it is possible that it can be delayed or prevented of the genetic basis of the disease.
I was going to say, when you say multiple antioxidants, so my listeners understand to what you are referring, what are you talking about?
For example, multiple antioxidants, when I talk about, for example, there are two kinds of types of multiple antioxidants. One that we take from the diet generally, like vitamin A, C. Our body don't make it. Vitamin A, C, E, these are the main that our vitamin don't make it. Our body don't make it. And so we use a vitamin A, C, E, and then we call it an endogenous antioxidant, certain kind of antioxidant that our body makes it. For example, like lipoic acid, glutathione, or you can say we can't use glutathione supplement. They get destroyed in the gut. So we use N-acetylcysteine. And N-acetylcysteine does not get destroyed in the gut, but it will increase the glutathione level in the cell. So we use N-acetylcysteine. Furthermore, coenzyme Q10 is also extremely important that our body makes it, L-carnitine. So these are the antioxidant that our body makes it. So that's why we say that certain multiple antioxidant means the dietary antioxidant as well as the antioxidant that our body makes it. So and most of the study that you see in a clinical study, they will use one either dietary antioxidant, sometimes they will use N-acetylcysteine, sometimes they will use coenzyme Q10 alone. But that doesn't help to increase the entire antioxidant system in your body. And therefore, it is very important to use the multiple antioxidant.
So I'd like to ask you a question about that glutathione. I personally take a lot of supplements.
Sure.
I don't want to get off on me. I mean, I'm happy to, but I've talked enough about me on my radio show, so I want it to be about you. But I would like to ask this question. I have a double mutation of MTHFR, and I had a massive heart attack a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I do, I noticed over the years that I got a brown spot on my left cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And I got brown spots over my body and different my arms and my hands. And
mm-hmm.
when I take this, I take a reduced glutathione supplement.
Mm-hmm.
When I take that reduced glutathione supplement, those brown spots go away.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't have any effect, what's happening in my body to make those brown spots go away? I thought it was like liver and estrogen or something, and
No, what could be happening? How much dose? What happens that if you take a reduced, which is antioxidant glutathione, most of it has been tested in humans, they get hydrolyzed in the gut and become like one of the components is the cysteine. And so it is possible that after hydrolysis, some of the cysteine get absorbed and you increase the glutathione level. But you have to take a very high dose of glutathione to get any effect in your body. But, look, observation is important. So if you feel that that's the best way, only you take a reduced glutathione or you are taking something else that might be doing it.
I take it every morning and every night, but I do take other things too. I take N-acetylcysteine, and I take vitamin C, and I take alpha-lipoic acid. I take a lot of things, but I notice a difference in the brown spots if I don't do the glutathione.
Oh, is that right? So that's very interesting observation. And if you don't, then go ahead and continue doing it, because I would have predicted that since you are taking both alpha-lipoic acid as well as N-acetylcysteine, you should have a sufficient amount of glutathione in your body.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is possible that, some of those antioxidants work or some of those compound works by mechanism that we don't know.
Something happens because it literally makes my skin glow.
How much reduced glutathione you take?
Oh, I can't remember. I really can't. I can't remember the dosage, but I take a big capsule in the morning and a big capsule at night.
Yeah.
I really can't remember what the dosage is.
Yeah, but then I would say it is not. It is an important thing. It is not harmful. And you are taking enough other component to increase your glutathione level, but if putting extra reduced glutathione orally, it helps you. Go ahead and do it. But generally, in a experimental system, This has not been found effective if you just give a reduced glutathione to human, and when they measured in the body, they
mm-hmm.
found that there was no elevation of glutathione because it is hydrolyzed. And
interesting.
That's why they always recommend N-acetylcysteine and alpha-lipoic acid as well.
I was wondering, another kind of really hot topic in the world right now is folate, folic acid,
yes.
and B12. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because, there's chatter in the world going on that says folate helps to deal with mutations, cellular mutations, and cancer.
Folic acid is important as a B vitamin. And what is most important for prevention point of view, especially in most of the neurological disease, is a B3, which is also called nicotinamide, and which is a vitamin B3. There has been several studies to show that vitamin B3. So in our formulation, we not only have antioxidant, multiple antioxidant, but we also have the B vitamin. And if it is a neurological issue, then we also recommend a high dosage of a vitamin B3, because there is a very, very good reason that it has been shown in animal model of the disease, and as well as in some of those human trials, some benefit against the prevention of neurological diseases like Alzheimer or Parkinsonism. But with respect to cancer, I think B vitamin is important, but I don't recommend anything specifically. Folic acid used to be a very small amount of folic acid, but nowadays we use a folic acid 800 microgram.
So do you have any comment about whether folic acid, there's a lot of talk in the world about methylation and folic acid being bad for you, and that you need an active form of folate rather than folic acid. And I've been interviewing a lot of people. I'm curious, do you have a comment about that?
Well, I think the folate is the more easily absorbed than folic acid, and therefore most of our formulation that I have developed it is with the folate. And so I think, again, we don't want to use excessive folate, but folate amount that we use is sufficient. And another issue that we want to address for this issue is the treatment, how the antioxidant. Is that answer your question about folic acid?
It's fine. Go ahead. I want to hear everything you have to say. I wish we had 5 hours.
Well, the current controversy is for example, the radiation oncologist or oncologist, they would not recommend any antioxidant supplement during radiation therapy or chemotherapy. And here is the two issues. When you treat about the combining with the standard therapy, whether it is radiation or chemotherapy, one has to consider what dose of antioxidant we should recommend. So I have defined in my book that either preventive doses of antioxidant is one thing, then therapeutic doses of antioxidant is different with respect to cancer and normal cell. For example, if you use a preventive dose, we call it a low dose, like vitamin C would be, 100 milligram or 200 milligram. Vitamin E would be 30 or 60 international units. In my book, I have given a description of a preventive doses. So I would not recommend preventive doses of antioxidant, whether it's a single or multiple, while you are going to radiation therapy or chemotherapy. I would not say go and bark in GNC or someplace which has a low dose of antioxidant. And the reason is because when I was in Colorado, we did experiment in our lab. The low dose of antioxidant, it will increase the growth of the cancer cell. That's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
But the same dose, same antioxidant mixture or individually, if you use a therapeutic dose, then it will kill cancer cell, but not the normal cell.
Wait, say that again, please.
It will kill. It will destroy. In other words, therapeutic dose of antioxidant will destroy or kill cancer cell, but not the normal cell.
Is that during radiation or chemo or before?
Any time, yes. For example, we published information, the data in experimental system, that if you combine with radiation, because I'm trained radiation biologist, and I used to teach radiation biology to residents in radiology at the University of Colorado Medical School. So that is my field. And so what we did when we did the experiment, we found that the preventive dose of radiation will protect cancer cell against radiation damage, both cancer and normal cell. But when you use a therapeutic dose of antioxidant, then it will protect the cancer cell, but it will enhance the effect of radiation on cancer cell. And so not only it will kill cancer cell by itself, but it will also increase the killing effect of radiation on cancer cell, but not on normal cell.
That's amazing. So what kind of, and again, I just want to remind my listeners, we're not trying to treat or diagnose.
I'm providing the information which has been published. People can go and read my book, or I have provided the reference in that book. They can find the reference where these information have been published.
Can you give my listeners an idea of what you mean when you say therapeutic doses, just so we have an idea?
For example, I would say therapeutic doses, for example, in case of vitamin A, I would say the therapeutic dose would be a 10,000 international unit, and vitamin C would be anywhere from 5 to 10 grams of vitamin C. These are therapeutic doses. Vitamin E would be from 800 to 1,600 international unit of vitamin E. And vitamin E, there are two types of vitamin E that is very important with respect to cancer. One is alpha tocopherol, which is our body has. And what we found in our lab, and we were first one to demonstrate that vitamin E succinate is the most effective form of vitamin E, especially with respect to cancer cells. For example, vitamin E succinate at certain dose will kill cancer cell, but not to the normal cell. And vitamin E succinate will enhance the effect of radiation on cancer cell, but will protect the normal cell against radiation. So when we devise the formulation, in our formulation, we say use both vitamin E succinate as well as alpha tocopherol, which is the regular, you know, our body has that form of vitamin E. So vitamin E succinate or vitamin E, the total dose, therapeutic dose would be anywhere from 800 to 600 international units per day. And for example, same way is alpha lipoic acid or N-acetylcysteine. The book has all those informations. Therapeutic dose is much, much, much higher than preventive doses. So,
before I forget, when you keep referring to the book, why don't you tell my listeners the name of that book and where they might find it, so
yes,
they can be looking at it maybe while we talk.
Yeah, the title of the book is Fight Cancer by Vitamins and Antioxidant. And Amazon.com, you can get that book. And, of course, the author is myself and my son. Both are authors. He's a pathologist. And so you will find that book. And they have a lot of useful information about the cancer. And also, in the end, there is a lot of scientific references that if anybody wants to use it. And I will give you one of your audience has any question on this issue, they can contact me, and I will give you my email. I mean, not email, but I will give you my, I will give you my email. K Prasad, K like kite, Prasad, at mypmcinside.com.
So that's K as in kite and Prasad, P as in Paul, R-A-S-A-D.
At my,
what?
M-Y, uh-huh. P-M-C, P like Peter, M like Mike, C like cat, my P-M-C, inside, I-N-S-I-D-E, all one word, mypmcinside.com.
Okay, thank you. So, also, when we're talking about therapeutic dosages, are you talking about oral supplementation,
yeah,
or does it
yeah.
have to be?
No, oral. These are all
okay.
oral supplementation, yes. And
now,
any the total dose, when we say any therapeutic dose, or we divide into two, half in the morning and half in the evening. Because most of the clinical study has been done once a day. And here is the reason why we suggest that one should take the supplement, the same total supplement, but divide in half in the morning and half in the evening. And the reason is that in our body, different vitamins are eliminated at different rate. And so if you take once in the morning,
bless you.
By evening, half more than half of the vitamin is gone. And so there is no constant level of vitamin in the system. And the reason, in order to maintain the steady level of vitamin, it is important to have it twice a day, half in the morning and half in the evening. When I was in Colorado, we did experiment that if you vary the dose of vitamin by twofold, there is a dramatic changes in gene expression. And so,
What do you mean? Say that again and tell us what you mean by the twofold thing.
Twofold means suppose the vitamin level in your body is five micrograms, say,
mm-hmm.
and suppose in the evening it becomes 2 micrograms. Then our body gene expression, gene activity in our body changes because you had a high level, then suddenly you decrease the low level. So body had to readjust. The genetic activity has to be changed. And if it happens all the time, then cell get stressed because every time you have it too low or too high, and they have to adjust, cell had to adjust their genetic activity to a normal level, it is difficult to cell to maintain all the time that kind of fluctuation. But if you give it twice, then it become a steady level, then the genetic activity does not change that significantly during day and night.
Can we talk just a minute about gene expression? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's say that you have a gene that's flipped,
mm-hmm.
and bad things are happening, whatever kind of gene, it doesn't matter, heart, cancer, whatever it is.
Right.
And so you go on this nutritional protocol, and you really walk the line, okay? You do a perfect diet. You don't eat fried foods. You eat grass-fed meat, and, you know, you do everything organic, everything you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, can you go back to just without having to do therapeutic dosages? Can you go back to, like, normal dosages?
Sure. No, I mean, therapeutic doses only, yeah, exactly. In other words, therapeutic doses only during the time of treatment. After the treatment is over, then you go back to the preventive dose.
Well, let's say that it's like, for example, me, heart disease.
Yeah.
I'm approximately 18 months out from my heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
When can I go to a normal vitamin without having to do 30 or 40 a day? When can I just do a good multivitamin, a good multimineral, and a good selection of antioxidants?
Yeah, I mean, you can do right now. We have, I think, a cardiologist in Denver marketing a formulation of a heart, Dr. Jeff Boone.
What's your last name?
Boone, B-O-O-N-E, Dr. Jeffrey Boone. He's a cardiologist for Bronco, Denver, you know, football, NFL football team.
Uh-huh.
And he's a very good friend of mine. And so I developed some formulation for heart, specific to the heart. And he's marketing it. And that is a supplement which requires a 3 capsules in the morning and 3 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And good diet and exercise, you know. You don't have to take so many pills, in my opinion. And he did some experiment, observational study, on a firefighter in Denver. About, I think it was 70 patients before and after, and measured their cholesterol level, and they were not on any kind of medication. They measured their cholesterol level and also the carotid artery thickness of the blood vessels. And, you know, when happens in a cardiac disease, especially a carotid artery, one can measure by the... and he has a good instrument to measure it. When the thickening of the wall vessels increases, that means your blood vessel is becoming narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he treated these people, they measured all these things before giving supplement. And then after supplement, they found that their cholesterol level decreased, which I was not expecting it, improved. In other words, LDL was decreased, SDL was increased.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has started calling a poor man's Lipitor because it is cheaper than Lipitor. But more exciting result to me was not the cholesterol level improvement, but the thickness of the carotid artery was reduced, which tells me that the antioxidant can produce a biological effect even on a tissue level, which is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, again, you know, I think that's very important. So if you take that supplement and combine with the with your diet, which I'm sure, exercise and so on, in my opinion, you don't need to take any other supplement because it has enough coenzyme Q10, alpha-lipoic acid, L-carnitine, you know, I carefully devised it.
Okay.
And incidentally, I have written a book for consumers on heart disease and nutrition, which will be published by the Inner Traditions. You know Inner Traditions, your friend.
Mm-hmm. And this is your book?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And a book, I have written two. One was diabetes, which is coming out, I think, next month. And I have already submitted on heart, which will be coming out sometime in the later part of the
book. I'm going to tell you right now, I want to have you back on all your books.
Okay.
I want to do a whole show on every book.
Yeah, thank you very much, Eva. No,
so,
I want to bring this kind of attention that people ignore it, you know.
It's important.
It is important.
It's important.
To bring that how, because most of the treatment right now, whether it's heart disease or diabetes or cancer, is based on the symptoms rather than the causes of the disease. And
so that's what I'd like for you to talk about.
And what we do, whether it is a cancer, whether it is a neurological disease, the targets are different, but biological or biochemical defects are the same, namely increased oxidative stress and chronic inflammation. And increased oxidative stress and chronic inflammation, if you want to reduce that, you have to increase both the level of antioxidant enzymes like glutathione peroxidase, superoxide dismutase, catalase. These are the three main antioxidant enzymes. You have to elevate them. You have to also elevate them, the diet, the antioxidant that we take from the diet and antioxidant that we made in our body. You can't do that if you use just vitamin E alone. There is no way you can do that. You can increase the vitamin E level, but that's only one vitamin body has it. And so in order to impress them, that's the another reason why we say we have to use a multiple vitamin. And the kind of formulation that I have developed, and there is a lot of scientific data produced on that, which will increase the antioxidant enzymes as well as the diet and endogenous antioxidants. So both components of the defense system is elevated. That means that will affect not only oxidative stress, but also reduce the chronic inflammation. And then you are way ahead.
So when you're talking about treating cancers with diet and nutrition, does the same apply to metastatic cancer? You know, there are different kinds of cancers. Does it matter the kind?
No, it is the same. It is the same. That when you use it in combination with radiation or chemotherapy, you use a therapeutic dose, and once the treatment is complete, then you go back to your preventive dose.
Okay.
And in my book, Fight Cancer with Vitamin, we have described this distinction, and we have described the doses of each and when to shift from one to another and then continue to a good diet and good lifestyle rest of your life.
What about cancers like glioblastomas? Does it help that too?
Yeah, glioblastoma is a tough tumor, and I think in combination with surgery and radiation, it will be very, very important to do it. And I had a friend, again, this is an anecdotal story, but a friend of mine in Denver when I was there, he had a glioblastoma, and it was surgically removed and gave radiation. You know, that's a standard therapy they gave. But problem was that he was losing memory, and memory was just, you know, because certain area of the brain which stores memory, and I guess some of those neurons got lost or surgically removed. And so I suggested him that why don't you use our formula which I have developed for the Alzheimer's, and because, you know, I said dementia is dementia, you know, mm-hmm. and at least it will help you. But I didn't realize how much it will help him. But he started taking it, and sure enough, he said after 3 months, he said, Kedar, I'm now, you know, riding my bike and I can think straight and so on and so forth. And then when he was feeling better, he discontinued for a few weeks, then went back again, started losing his memory. And then he tried again, the memory came back. So when you try to do this kind of thing is a lifestyle thing. You have to continue through your life.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an excellent chance that not only that it might improve the efficacy or effectiveness of surgery and radiation treatment of glioblastoma, but also can prevent the late adverse effect like, you know, memory loss and this kind of things. In other words, gives a good quality life for a long time.
So what about fatty acids and minerals and things?
Well, the only minerals that we recommend, fatty acid that we recommend with respect to, and this is again in heart disease we have done it, omega-3 fatty acid is the only one that I recommend. And among minerals, only minerals that I recommend is selenium. Again, not too much because the window of safety for selenium is too narrow.
Tell me about that. I'm interested in that window of that narrow.
For example, you know, the selenium dose we use for therapeutic use would be up to 200 microgram, and the preventive dose would be 100 microgram. But if you use a 400 microgram, then you can develop a skin toxicity, liver toxicity, and in the animal model they found they increase the risk of cataract. Long term, you know, if you take for a week or 2 weeks, it doesn't have any relevance. But I'm talking about the long term consumption of 400 microgram would be deleterious for health. So again, it is for prevention point of view, the safety window is very narrow for selenium and vitamin A. Only two ingredients or antioxidants, you can say, that has a very narrow window of safety. For example, you can go up to 5,000 vitamin A, it is okay. And of course, these days they recommend only 3,000. But if you go 10,000 or more, then it can increase the risk of a birth defect in pregnant women. It can also increase the risk of fractures in older people. And so again, window of safety is very narrow for those ingredient, namely vitamin A and selenium, so we don't recommend more than, for preventive dose, we would not be more than 3,000 for vitamin A. Therapeutic dose will be 10,000 because you will be taking only for a month or 2 months during therapy. And the selenium would be, again, same way. So we don't.
Oh, what about vitamin A, the two forms? Is there one that's preferred over the other?
No, I think vitamin A is only one form.
One that
like beta carotene, for example.
Yes.
But then
there's the one that you get from fish. I was reading about it the other day, and it was warning about you shouldn't take the beta carotene, that you should take the fish one. And so I wanted to ask you about that.
No, the beta carotene is a precursor of vitamin A. In other words, one molecule of beta carotene will make a two molecule of vitamin A, okay?
Okay.
So this in the body. So if you take a beta carotene in the body, one molecule will make a two molecule of vitamin A. So
okay. They
are not the same. But beta carotene not only will make vitamin A for you, but beta carotene has its own function as a carotene that cannot be produced by vitamin A.
Okay.
So we recommend that one take, you know, both beta carotene, or what I do is take a mixed carotenoid, natural mixed carotenoid, which has a 90% beta carotene from some alpha carotene, some other carotenoid. And so we recommend generally a natural mixed carotenoid, which has mostly beta, 90% is beta carotene, and vitamin A as well. But what happened, the study that you recall, when they tried beta carotene, which in this case was synthetic beta carotene, among the smokers, 10, 15 years ago, and they found that the beta carotene alone increased the risk of cancer among heavier smokers, lung cancer. Well, you know, this was predicted because beta carotene, you know, first, if you have a tobacco smoker, like heavier smoker, your body has a very high level of free radicals generated, very high level, because of a smoke. And when you go to take one single antioxidant like beta carotene or vitamin E, any single antioxidant, but in this case was beta carotene, they become converted to a free radical, what we call it. They get oxidized because the high presence of free radical in the body, they become converted to a free radical type of molecule rather than antioxidant. And so if you knew this biology of antioxidant, you should have said, don't do this experiment, because a smoker has high level of free radical in the body, and antioxidant, when they get oxidized with the help of free radical, they act like free radicals, which is damaging. So why you will run a clinical study to reduce the risk of cancer among a smoker? This didn't make any sense. And this created a lot of negative publicity that don't take beta carotene, don't take this and that, you know. But that was a wrong and flawed experiment. But you know, once it is published, get publicized, then...
Well, you've got about 12 or 13 minutes.
Okay.
I'd like for you to talk about anything that you want to talk about that we've not talked about that you think is important. You can even move to some of your other books if you like. And if you don't have anything, I'll be glad to ask you questions. I just know that you're packed full of information.
I think the most important for the audience to remember that whenever you take vitamins, another issue that I want to very much emphasize that I have not done so thus far was the use of iron, copper, and manganese. These are trace minerals.
Right? What was the last one? Manganese?
Manganese, yes.
Okay.
These are trace minerals. And deficiency can kill people or create all kind of disease, anemia, and copper, different. But slight excess of the disease, slight excess of these trace metals will also increase the risk of almost all chronic human diseases, from cancer, Alzheimer, Parkinson's disease, and so on. And I will give you some example why. For example, if you go and look any supplement in the market commercially sold right now, most of them, almost all of them, will have a iron, copper, manganese. Sometimes, since I have been talking for the last 20 years, sometimes people now are removing iron, but I still give copper and manganese. So you say that why iron, copper, and manganese in combination with antioxidant formulation is not good. And here are the reasons. The first reason is that iron or copper, when combined with vitamin C, it generates free radicals. This has been known. This is not my discovery. This is a textbook. Any textbook will describe that. That iron, when it combines with vitamin C, they generate a lot of free radicals. This has been known. As a matter of fact, if you want to study the effect of pure free radicals in any laboratory in the world, you combine in your test tube, you put some vitamin C and some iron, and they will generate enormous amount of free radical, and then you add some tissue or cell that you want to study. So why you want to do that? That's one reason. That why in all our formulation that I have developed, we have not added iron. And there's another reason. Iron or copper, in the presence of antioxidant, gets absorbed better than in the absence of antioxidant. And that's the reason when you have anemia, some people have established anemia, then doctor will recommend take vitamin C and iron together, because vitamin C will be absorbed better in the presence of antioxidant. Then what happens in the body? Our body has no mechanism, no way. Once the iron gets inside the body, it cannot get out of the body until you give blood donation or something like that. So it accumulates in the body, so because there is no way of getting rid of iron. So over a long period of time, that iron will be stored in your body, and then increase in the iron store in the body is responsible for almost all human chronic diseases. If you go to the Medline, you can get hundreds of papers on this issue, that increased iron store can increase the risk of cancer, can increase the risk of Parkinson's disease, because in old days, the treatment of Parkinson's disease used to be iron chelator, the compound which can pick up the iron and get out and get rid of iron. So iron is very deadly. Same way is copper. Increased copper will cause another disease called Wilson disease, which is a neurological disease. Increase in copper in the brain also increase the risk of Alzheimer. These are all published information by somebody else, and you know, recently has been published, and we have been telling that don't use iron, copper with multiple vitamins. Same way with manganese. Manganese miners who work in the manganese mine will develop the symptoms of Parkinson's, because excess amount of either through breathing or some way body level becomes high, and therefore they develop all these kind of diseases. So in our preparations, we don't recommend, you know, if you take 1 or 2 days, doesn't make difference. But if you are going to take vitamin supplement throughout your lifetime, don't take iron, copper, manganese in the preparation. Then you say, where I can get it? Even a junk food will have enough iron. You know, if you take a vegetable, or these are called trace minerals. Your body is very tiny, tiny amount. And therefore, any food you take, that will give you more than enough iron. You take a spinach, and any salad, even McDonald's hamburger will give you enough iron for rest of the day. So, you know, any fast food, any kind of food will give you enough iron. So why to take a supplement iron doesn't make any sense. Since I have been talking for a long time, now some formulation you will see they have removed iron, but still they maintain copper and manganese at the same time.
What do you, and this is kind of off topic a little bit, but it made me think about iron skillets when you start talking about iron. What do you think we should cook in?
Well, you know, cooking, for example, you know, cooking would be, I mean, I in my family, I use olive oil, for example.
No, I mean, what kind of pots? Everywhere I turn, they're talking about, you know, heavy metals and pots, and there's iron and iron skillets, and there's...
No, iron skillet. Avoid iron skillets. You know, just a standard stainless steel is the best one.
Do you think, does it matter the quality of this? I mean, can you buy one at Walmart and use it, or... do you have to buy an expensive one, or
what?
You know, now they have those new ones that are coated with ceramic glaze. Which one do you recommend?
Well, I think just a standard stainless steel. You know, I don't know, people, you know, to make a fancy one, they use all kind of chemicals. But I would say my feeling is just the standard one is good enough. And another thing that I want to mention with respect to supplement, for example, people, you know, if you take a calcium supplement, many people, especially women after 40, we recommend a calcium supplement and magnesium. But sometimes calcium is sold, they have been isolated for marine sources, like, you know, shellfish, shell or something like that, versus some calcium supplement is from the laboratory purified calcium. So in this case, the synthetic one, calcium, is better than the calcium derived from the natural sources like shell from the ocean. And the reason is that when you the shell also have a heavy metal like mercury, lead, they get sinked, and many of those shellfish will accumulate that. And the bone gets those things accumulated it. And while you are purifying calcium, some of those contamination of mercury and lead come with the calcium. And therefore, they always have a small, tiny amount of heavy metal. So one should avoid, in this case, it is a synthetic one is better than the natural one. But this is not true for vitamin E or beta-carotene, because beta-carotene, and in most clinical study, beta-carotene was the synthetic form. But what natural form does, for example, and this was published by a friend of mine, Dr. Ann Kennedy. She was in the University of Pennsylvania. She's still there. What she found, that natural beta-carotene can prevent X-ray-induced cancer in experimental system, in laboratory experiment. But when you use the synthetic beta-carotene, it was totally ineffective. And so in this case, you will say natural beta-carotene is better than the synthetic one. Same thing is true for vitamin E. The natural, if you give body both synthetic form and natural form at the same time, the body prefers natural form several times more than synthetic form. And therefore, we feel that cell can pick up more vitamin E when they are in a natural form than the synthetic form. And again, this data was published by a Canadian scientist, very elegant work. And therefore, we always recommend a natural form of vitamin E rather than the synthetic form. And synthetic form is cheaper than natural form. And therefore, most of the commercial preparation you will see will be adding a synthetic form because it is cheaper, much cheaper than the natural form. And how do you distinguish between a natural and synthetic form? Well, they have to put a designation D like dog. If it is just D, alpha, tocopherol, that means it is natural. If it is a DL, L like Larry, DL, then it is a synthetic form. So the consumers can distinguish whether it is a natural form by just reading the label.
Is that just for vitamin E, or is that for anything?
No, I mean, that's just vitamin E. But most of the thing is they have not made a synthetic one, but, you know, these two are made synthetic and natural. But
so,
most of them, go ahead.
Do you sell nutritional supplements?
I don't sell. A company sells it, but that company is kind of in a trouble. But I developed those formulations for that company, but marketing people were not good. So, for example, they are giving a heart formula that I developed. They gave to Dr. Boone to do it through his office and through his website and so on. Sambe is another product that I developed, which is very, very effective. There has been some clinical testing. It's a hearing health, you know, in the people who suffer from tinnitus, and they are hearing loss, and it looks like the people who have been there for a long time, the supplementation with this product, we call it hearing health product, improves.
What's in it?
It is again same. It is doses are different. The same doses, the ingredients are about same. In other words, it will have all the vitamin B vitamins, certain vitamin more than the others, and the endogenous antioxidant that our body makes it, coenzyme Q10 and L-carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid and acetylcysteine. So basic formulation is same, but the doses will be different. Only, for example, if we have a heart disease, for example, take that, I will give a high dose of coenzyme Q10. A high dose of, we will give L-carnitine, because that also reduces increases the fat metabolism, which is important for heart disease. So So really, we looked the literature, scientific data, and we then designed the formulation, what component is requires more in one but not in the other. So it was very carefully designed, that kind of a dosage.
Okay, and we have about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I want you to save just a second at the very end to say your book again, okay?
Yeah, sure.
But I want to know, how do people know that they're getting, that the supplement they're buying is quality or not?
Yeah, that's a very important question you made. Recently, not recently, but 5 or 6 years ago, a consumer's group tested, just randomly picked up 10 bottles from the store, multiple vitamins. And they found that 85 to 90% of that percentage of the bottle that they picked up didn't have the correct amount that they are saying in the bottle. So the quality control is very important. Most of them, which are the cheap vitamins, you know, and they don't have as good quality control based on this study. Another thing that, so one has to be careful which company you buy your vitamins, make sure it is a respectable company and it has a good quality control.
How do they know if it's respectable? People assume that it's on the shelf, but it's respectable.
Marketing a study, I don't know how to say that because, you know, I will say, well, you know, I made the best formulation, but I don't know how to say that, except that at least you can go and see that all the multiple, and make sure that there is no toxic material, you know, like iron, copper, magnesium. Make sure also some company will add some crazy herbal product that could be a counterproductive. For example, you know, a certain...
licorice.
Yeah.
I always say licorice.
Or biloba would be counterproductive for certain statin drugs. And so make sure there is no herbal product for the time being, except I would say only two, among all the herbal products I have seen it, only two are there which are very important. And if I have to modify some of those formulations, I will add to that at some point, is curcumin, which is isolated for, you know, curcumin is a Indian spices, turmeric. And the curcumin was isolated from turmeric and Indian, you know, they claim in India, Ayurvedic medicine, that this is fantastic medication for preventing or for reducing oxidative stress and inflammation. And another is resveratrol. And resveratrol, probably you know that it has been isolated from the grape seed or grape skin. And they have been shown very, very interesting effect in at least in the animal model that they can also help in combination with the other agent more effective in reducing oxidative stress and inflammation. So those, except those two herbs, if I have some other crazy herbs, I would not take it, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We've got about 15 seconds. So just say one more time the name of your book, where they can...
My book is Fight Cancer with Vitamins and Antioxidant, and it is available Amazon.com under this title. And also,
thank you.
Sure.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Fighting Cancer with Vitamins and Antioxidants.
Right.
Dr. Kedar Prasad,
yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show.
Thank you, Eva.
Good night.